All right, there you go. Bill Flores is joining us from D.C. this morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good morning.
Let's talk about the inauguration first. Where are your seats?
My seats were on the stage with the president to the left. Over his left shoulder,
okay.
Up about, I don't know, 20 rows or so.
Okay, so was Beyonce lip-syncing, or was she really singing?
Well, I was, her back was facing us. I couldn't tell. It didn't sound right, I can tell you that. I mean, compared to the other folks that sang, she just, it sounded weird.
Something different. But anyhow, one or two days to make nice, and now it's time to get to work again, huh?
Yes.
I'd like to talk for a minute about that, though. The whole idea is this did not seem to necessarily be any kind of a reaching across the aisle type inauguration speech. I think there have been some comments about that.
Well, it wasn't. It basically just laid out the president's vision for America. And I can sum it up this way. We need to take more taxes from hardworking Americans and give it to he, the government, so that he can determine what sort of bureaucracy is going to control our lives. And to me, that's the simplest way to sum it up.
Well, obviously, the size of government frustrates people. The intrusiveness of government trust bothers people. And, you know, I was just reading an article this morning, and of course, if you're out looking for tax forms right now, April's, you know, going to be here pretty soon. Let's talk a little bit about, for a second, the patches that are in place for the for our taxes. You know, we were going to lose our credit for our taxes that we have in Texas since we don't have a state income tax. Y'all have patched the alternative tax. Is that correct? Maybe permanently?
That's correct. The AMT has been fixed permanently.
Okay, so that's okay. What other good taxing news do we have that y'all passed that people might not have noticed?
Well, the tax rates for those making less than for families making less than $450,000 are permanently extended to the extent you can say that anything Washington does is permanent. That is a good thing.
Okay.
That those tax rates will not be or didn't go up on January the 1st. So those are the things I like about the bill that passed. There are some other problems with it that we've talked about in the past, though.
Last week, Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. Last week, we talked about, in advance, a meeting where the Republican Party, was going to Williamsburg, Virginia, to kind of basically put together a plan. And so Speaker Boehner spoke to y'all, and you said that you were going to get an opportunity to speak to leadership as well. Did you feel like you were able to be heard and that they responded to you?
I do. I do feel like the leadership of the conference was very open. They went into listen-only mode. And we explained what our frustrations had been over the last 2 years and what our hopes were for the next 2 years. And I feel like we came out relatively unified and that we put together a pretty good plan to go on offense to try to protect Americans from an ever-increasing government or an ever-intrusive government.
But one of the things that did not happen is you pulled back from, as a party, the whole idea that the debt ceiling had to be matched by spending cuts.
Well, just temporarily, and there's a perfect reason why. First of all, we don't know when this debt ceiling crisis is going to hit because the Treasury has quit communicating with Congress to let us know when they run out of their extraordinary options or extraordinary measures that they take after they've hit the debt ceiling. Remember, we hit the debt ceiling back on December the 31st. And so now Treasury is borrowing from other funds to be able to make ends meet for the time being. So we could start working today and come up with what those spending cuts would be to increase the debt ceiling. And then, you know, we might be right in the middle of it, and all of a sudden Secretary Geithner will call up and say, time's up, I need the debt ceiling increased. And then we have a fight that we're not prepared to have because we don't have all the details. So it makes sense, I think, to suspend the debt ceiling for a short period of time until we can do a few things. One is, let's get our budget prepared and put on the table. Let's force the Senate to put up a budget, which they haven't done in 4 years. And then we can show the American people two different visions for America and then get their feedback on what they think needs to be done before we go forward. We've got two other fights in front of us, too, 200 issues to try to define the size and scope of government. One is the continuing resolution that funds the government runs out of March 27th, and so we need to have a budget so that we can look at what that ought to be like going forward. And then we've got the sequester, which kicks in around March the 1st. That the sequester, in my view, is the wrong way to deal with government spending. But one of the good things out of it is it cuts our discretionary spending from $1.47 trillion $1.47 trillion this year to $974 billion. So that's a good thing. But it's going to be kind of it's ugly in the way it's done, and so hopefully we get a chance to redo that one to make the cuts come from better places.
Okay, so by moving it up 3 months, given the 3 month window right there, you feel like those can be attached or can be addressed. Now, one of the things that you're wanting to do is what you want to send to the Senate would then in fact be tied to the Senate would have to act on that, or the senators would not draw a paycheck. Now, I don't think they need the money, but politically, what are we talking about here?
Well, it basically says that one of the problems with the Budget Control Act in 1974 is there are no enforcement mechanisms. So if the Senate doesn't do its job, and it hasn't done its job for 4 years, then you can punish them for not doing their job by not paying them, which is basically the same thing that any family or business would go through in real-world America. And so we took a provision from a bill that I co-sponsored last year called No Budget, No Pay, and we're going to attach it to it and said that if the Senate doesn't pass a budget, or if either body of the Congress doesn't pass a budget, then its members will not get paid. And basically let the American people know that, hey, this is an issue. How can you set your appropriations bills? How can you lay out the vision for America if you don't have a budget to show what the vision is? Budgets are really just vision documents more than anything else.
So, and you anticipate that the vote that you're going to take today in the House to suspend the debt ceiling till May, that's going to pass, right?
Yes, sir, I do. Okay. I believe that it will.
Let's switch to something else. Apparently, the governor of Nebraska has given his blessing now to the Keystone XL pipeline as to where it's going to go. Everything seemed to be in line now that, in your view, that construction will move forward now?
Well, it's in line everywhere except with President Obama. And, he tried to do all he could to put this decision off until after the election. And I candidly have no idea how he and the administration will decide to move forward. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'd rather have a pipeline carrying crude oil than I would to have trains and trucks carry them over our roads and railways.
It appears now, at least I saw a poll yesterday, that appears now that more and more Americans want to really focus on some sort of a federal government plan to develop immigration reform. Remind us what your feeling is on that and what you could be comfortable with as far as immigration reform is concerned.
I absolutely agree. I think that we've got to focus on immigration reform. It's kind of the big elephant out there in the room that's hurting the ability of several million folks in our country to move forward. And the things I think we need to focus on are set immigration policy based on labor market needs. For instance, in Bryan College Station, our hotels and restaurants cannot get enough hospitality workers, even though they're paying sometimes $9 and $10 an hour. And so, in that case, immigrant labor would be a good solution. So let's have a hospitality visa to meet our labor needs. We've got ag operations that don't have enough workers. We've got high-tech folks that come in here and get STEM degrees, graduate degrees. But yet they have to go back home. Why not keep them here and help make taxpayers out of them?
Right.
So I think it needs to be labor market driven and get rid of the visa lottery system that we have today, which makes no sense at all. Let's continue to focus on border security. We're going to have to come up with a solution on the Dreamers, too, and I don't have a good answer on that at this point. But we need to come up with a solution to deal with those folks that came here through no fault of their own and how we're going to deal with them.
Now, again, yesterday, Harry Reid talking about federal legislation for guns. Obviously, that was not the focus of the meeting in Virginia, but I'm sure that in the hallways y'all had some discussions about that. What is your sense that you feel as a party and what will happen in the House, if anything, as far as gun legislation?
Well, if you look at what happened in the last Congress over the last 2 years, the House worked on hundreds of bills. And we passed dozens of Main Street solutions to address jobs and economy and deficits and things like that. Sent them over to the Senate, and the Senate did absolutely nothing. And so, we kind of gave a pass to the Senate. They don't have to do anything, and then they can just sit back and throw rocks at us. When I say the Senate, I'm not talking about the Republicans. I'm talking about Harry Reid and his side of the aisle. And so if he really wants this, it's up to him to go ahead and move first on this and do his job and see what he can pass in the Senate, and then we'll take it up and look at it. To tell you what I think the House would do, probably not much. The only areas I think we need to look at are broader background checks. But other than that, I haven't seen anything in Feinstein's bill that I found to be acceptable.